Well, welcome, dear ones, to our main church service on this first Sabbath in October of 2014. We welcome also those that are listening on the phone, those that are listening on WLMR radio, and also for those listening to the recording of today's service. And we appreciate you choosing to be with us and to fellowship together as one in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have one announcement to make before we get into our service. Next Sabbath, which will be October 11, we will be having communion. And so I pray that you will be prepared for partaking of the bread and the wine, or grape juice, and that you will also come prepared to wash one another's feet, and thus come into a greater unity with one another in the Lord on that special Sabbath day, next Sabbath. So we're having communion next Sabbath on October 11, and we look forward to partaking of that sacred service with you all. So that was the one announcement that I had. Our opening song for today's service is entitled, I'm Pressing on the Upward Way. And the lyrics can be found on our website at lightministries.com/ID1938.htm. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where those abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your watch and care. We thank you, dear Lord, for patience beyond what we can understand. There are many fumbles and how many times we stumble, and yet you're there to pick us up. Father, send your angels, send your Holy Spirit to be with each one of us. Father, we see the times around us. We see what is happening in the world, and we know that we cannot be a part of it. Father, give us the courage to keep standing up and holding on, for we know that you will not let go. It is up to our responsibility to hang on. We thank you, dear Lord, that you've given us this Sabbath day, that we have this special time to come aside, to rest, to strengthen ourselves for the coming week. Oh, dear Father, give each of us the courage to stand fast, for we know that the reward is beyond our imagination. It is beyond what we can dream. But we know, dear Lord, that the goal is well worth everything that we can give and everything that we can leave behind. Forgive us, dear Lord, for being so unsure. But Lord, we know that day by day, we can take that rope that you've let down, that you caught, that we can lean on you, and that the more we look, we can see that you've led us in the past. Help us not to forget that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Be with us now as we listen to church service and as we worship together, that we may all know that we will be together in heaven. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. Well, this is part 4, and it is the final part in this Ten Commandments series dealing with the Eighth Commandment, Thou Shalt Not Steal. And last Sabbath, we understood that we can break this Eighth Commandment and commit sin by misusing or misappropriating God's sacred tithes. We learned that we can steal from God by using this sacred money in areas where it should not be used, or by sending it where it should not go. And thus, even though we would be paying tithe, yet we would still be guilty of robbing God because of misusing or misappropriating this sacred money. We then spent the remaining time last Sabbath investigating into areas where God's sacred tithes should not go and be used for. And we discovered that even though God's sacred tithes are to go to and be used for the support of God's true ministers and ministries, yet we also learned that tithe is not to go to those ministers or ministries who are unfaithful or who are not preaching the full present truth gospel of the third and fourth angels' messages, or to those who disregard health reform, or to those who are involved in politics. We also learned that tithe cannot go to and be used for those workers in the Lord's cause who are not ministers, such as canvassers or coal porters. And we also understood that tithe cannot be used to cover the operating expenses of churches or meeting houses, and neither can it be used for personal emergencies or to pay debts or to help students or for the aged or the poor or orphans or widows or even charities. We then solemnly learned that every dollar of God's sacred tithe that we are guilty of misusing or misappropriating is charged against us in the record books of heaven, and that we need to repay back to God all of this stolen money as far as possible, and then God will freely forgive us for this greatest of sins of stealing from Him. So after investigating into the first of these three areas and how we can steal from and deceive God, it is very plain that God's sacred tithes are only to be sent to and used for the support of those ministers and ministries who are actively getting the full present truth message of the third and fourth angels out to as many people as possible, And if we send the tithe to any other person or ministry, or should use it in any other area, then we are guilty of breaking this eighth commandment by robbing God, and are in grave danger of losing eternal life because of this sin. But now, how can we rob God in offerings or in service, which is the remaining two areas in this section? So how can we rob God in offerings or in service? And this is what we'll be investigating into today in this final part of this Ten Commandments series on the Eighth Commandment. Now, for those that would like to follow along with the quotes that I'll be referring to today, these can be found on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1410.htm. And I went ahead and put them here in the room. So if you look at quote number one, how can we rob God in offerings? Well, the most common way is by not giving offerings to God. And we're told in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 9, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me. So if you are not giving to God offerings in addition to your tithe, then you are guilty of robbing God and breaking this eighth commandment. But exactly what is an offering? The Hebrew word used for offering is teruma, and it translates and means a present offered in sacrifice, a gift, an offering. And this was taken from Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, word number 8641. So an offering is anything of value that you willingly sacrifice and donate to God in addition to the tithe. And offerings are most often in the form of money, but it can actually be anything of value. Now, as the tithe is 10% of our increase, how much should offerings be? In Ezra chapter 3, verse 5, everyone that willingly offered a free will offering unto the Lord. Now, the Hebrew word used for free will is nadaba, and it translates and means a spontaneous or abundant gift, freely, plentifully, voluntarily, willing offering. And this was Strong's word number 5071. So we see that offerings are gifts that are voluntarily given to the Lord from a willing, grateful heart, and therefore can be of any amount or percentage of our increase. In Deuteronomy 16, verses 10 and 17, a freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God, according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath blessed thee. Now, at times, these voluntary freewill offerings are willingly given spontaneously and without much thinking beforehand about it. But at other times, these offerings are willingly fixed by the giver to be a certain percentage of their increase. For instance, since the tithe is 10% of all our increase, some will then willingly choose to give God an offering of another 10% as well. And this can be referred to as giving God a second tithe, but it is actually an offering. Or others choose to give God an offering of 5% of all their increase. And still others give an offering of a portion of their remaining money after all their bills are paid. But an offering is free will. It doesn't have to be any set percentage. It's whatever from your own heart you decide to give to God. Now, if you look at quote number two, what can offerings be used for? Offerings can also be given to the true ministers and ministries of God, but unlike the restrictions that are placed upon God's sacred tithe, offerings can also be used in many other areas of God's work. Offerings can be used to support all other necessary areas that are connected with the Lord's work, such as supporting canvassers or coal porters or other workers in the Lord's cause who are not ministers. Offerings can also be used to cover the operating expenses of churches or meeting houses, or to help needy students in learning more of God's word, or to help in caring for the aged or poor or needy or the orphans and widows. Offerings can also be used to purchase Bibles, Spirit of Prophecy books and materials, tracts or booklets, as well as the postage to mail out these items to others. It can also be used to purchase tape or CD or DVD duplicators, copy machines, or any other areas that might come up in connection with the Lord's work. So basically, offerings can be used to cover any expense connected with the Lord's work, especially in connection with the spreading of the printed truth. But tithe is only to be used to support God's ministers and their ministries for Him. In Testimonies, Volume 4, on page 472, Christ assigned to men the work of spreading the gospel. But while some go forth to preach, He calls upon others to answer His claims upon them for tithes and offerings, with which to support the ministry and to spread the printed truth all over the land. Now, many misread and twist this testimony to say that tithes can also be retained by them to be used according to their own judgment and purposes in purchasing and spreading the printed truth far and wide. This is not according to the weight of the evidence which we have already seen regarding how God's sacred tithes are to be used and to go for. So we've learned that God's tithe is solely devoted to the support of the ministers and their ministry work for Him, while offerings can be used in all other necessary areas connected with God's work. And dear ones, if you want to be one of God's faithful stewards, then you do not have a right to use God's sacred tithe according to your own judgment or for your own purposes, independent of God's stated will, even if this is in the Lord's work. In Testimonies, Volume 9, on page 246 to 247, a steward identifies himself with his master. He accepts the responsibilities of a steward, and he must act in his master's stead, doing as his master would do were he presiding. His master's interests become his. The position of a steward is one of dignity because his master trusts him. If in any wise he acts selfishly and turns the advantages gained by trading with his Lord's goods to his own advantage, he has perverted the trust reposed in him. God has given special direction as to the use of the tithe. He does not design that his work shall be crippled for want of means. That there may be no haphazard work and no error, He has made our duty on these points very plain. The portion that God has reserved for Himself is not to be diverted to any other purpose than that which He has specified. Let none feel at liberty to retain their tithe to use according to their own judgment. They are not to use it for themselves in an emergency, nor to apply it as they see fit, even in what they may regard as the Lord's work. So God's sacred tithe is not to be used according to the judgment of the one giving the tithe, but according to the judgment and direction of God, whose money it is. Tithes are to be used only in supporting God's ministers and their ministry work, but offerings can be used to purchase and spread the printed truth all over the land, which is exactly what inspiration stated in the testimony of Volume 4, tithes to support the ministry and offerings to spread the printed truth all over the land. Now, if you look at quote number 3, as this is true, that tithe is solely to be devoted to the support of the ministers and their ministry work for God, and that offerings and gifts are to be used for all other necessary areas in the Lord's work, some will complain that they only have enough money to pay tithe, but no extra money for offerings and gifts to be given to God. So then they reason that they need to use the tithe for these other necessary things, that they need to use their tithe for purchasing religious books or tracts or for covering the meeting house's expenses, etc. And if they cannot use their tithe to do these things, then others will suffer for want of the truth that could have been given them. And still others believe that they do not need to give offerings and gifts to God in addition to their tithe. But are these really good logical positions to take and stand on in these last days? Does necessity override following the express and clearly revealed will of God? In Review and Herald of December 1, 1896, the Lord calls for his tithe. Besides this, he calls for your gifts and offerings. No one is compelled to present his tithe or his gifts and offerings to the Lord. But just as surely as God's word is given to us, just as surely will he require his own with usury at the hand of every human being. If men are unfaithful in rendering to God his own, if they disregard God's charge to his stewards, they will not long have the blessing of that which the Lord has entrusted to them. So yes, it will require self-denial and sacrifice in order to comply with what God has specified his tithe to be sent to and used for. And yes, it will also require self-denial and sacrifice in order to give offerings and gifts to God above and beyond the tithe. But what a blessing will be realized by your unselfish giving. And in addition to this, by giving, you will actually be involved in the spreading of God's present truth far and wide, even though you are not literally out there passing the truth out to others. By supporting the work, you are part of the work. So then no matter how much of a sacrifice you have to make in order to give God tithes and free will offerings and gifts, the bottom line is, can you really outgive God? You know, anciently, God's people devoted one quarter to one third of all their income to support God's ministers and his cause, and they were greatly blessed by God in doing so. And God's people today would also experience a greater love for, and a greater rejoicing in, and a greater sanctification through the truth if they would also do the same placing God's will and his cause first and foremost above their own will and cause. If you look at quote number 4. Now, if you find that you are guilty of robbing God by not giving offerings in addition to your tithe, then what are you to do? In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30 through 32, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will ye die? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. And then in Review and Herald of October 13, 1896, to defraud God is the greatest crime of which man can be guilty, and yet this sin is deep and widespread. So this offering issue is extremely serious. And unless we repent and stop robbing God of free will offerings in addition to the tithe, then we will lose salvation. So if you see that you are guilty of robbing the Lord in this area of offerings, then please begin now. Turn ye and deny and sacrifice self in order to give God offerings. And after you have done so, then you can ask the Savior to fully pardon you for this greatest of crimes against God, and you know assuredly that he will completely forgive you, that he will fully remove his curse from off of you, and will then open the windows of heaven and bless you abundantly. In Ezekiel 33, verses 14 to 16, again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. So this is the area of offerings. But now, how can we rob God in service? Now, I find that there are at least three main areas involved in stealing from God and breaking this eighth commandment in the area of service. The first are areas involving the service of our mind. The second is areas involving the service with our energy and strength. And the third is areas involving our usefulness in service. So let's look at the first one. How can we steal from God in areas involving our mind? And this is quote number 5. If we are not devoting some of our time in prayerful study and contemplation of God's Word, then we are stealing from God the use of our mind. So by not spending some time in prayerful study and contemplation of God's Word, then you would not be able to grow into the full stature of a man or woman in Christ Jesus. And since you would not be spending as much time with him as a Christian should, then you would not be growing closer to him as a Christian needs to. And thus you would also not be increasing in spiritual and practical knowledge as a Christian must. So then this means that you would be guilty of stealing away from God not only your time, but also robbing away from him the close affection and bond of union that he could have had with you, as well as your ability to more intelligently and effectively communicate with him. So then, if you are guilty of stealing away from God the service of your mind, then what are you to do about it? In Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. In 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, And thou, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. And then in Isaiah 26, verse 3, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So that's how we can steal from God in areas involving the service of our mind and then what we should do about it. But now, how can we steal from God in areas involving the service of our energy and strength? You look at quote number 6. If we are not devoting some of our time in service to God, then you would be guilty of stealing away from him the increase and benefit which his precious cause of truth could have obtained through your energetic and strong efforts to build it up. So then this means that because of your lack of help, God's cause was further delayed from being able to accomplish its purpose of filling this earth with his glory. So if you see that you are guilty of stealing from God in this area of not using your energy and strength in service to him, then what should you do? In Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 to 13, And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. In Psalms 100, 2 through 5, Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And then in 1 Samuel 12, verses 24 to 5, Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed. And dear ones, please realize that as you serve the Lord with all your strength and energy, God will then strengthen you more and more with his divine power, so that marvelous things can be accomplished in righteousness. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 33, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. And then in Psalm 68, 35, The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. Now, how can we steal from God in areas involving our usefulness? If you look at quote number 7, if we are not devoting some of our time in unselfish service and ministering to others in good works, then you would not be a true co-worker with God, and neither would you be truly yoked together with Christ. So then this means that you would be guilty of stealing away from God his right to use you in reaching out to others and manifesting his love for them. And you would also be guilty of robbing away from others the happiness and comfort and relief that your unselfish actions could have brought them. And this particular group can be listed in Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. And you know, the Bible has quite a lot to say regarding this particular issue of our usefulness. So then if you see that you are guilty of stealing from God in this area of service towards others, and that through the lack of these good works you are denying God, then what are you to do about it? In Titus chapter 3, verses 8 and 14, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. In Titus 2, verses 6 to 8, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 to 10, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or of costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And then in Galatians 6, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And dear ones, it is this very issue of maintaining good works that is one reason why God has given us his written word. If you look at quote number 8 from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, if you look at quote number 9, if we are faithful to God in this area of usefulness, and we do indeed maintain good works, then what will happen as a result of this? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then in James 2, verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So then maintaining good works allows God to be glorified. And with him glorified, then more people are made aware of him and the salvation which he freely offers. So then through maintaining good works and ministering and serving others, we then lead people to find God. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So if you know these things, dear ones, then as we're told in Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 4, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And in James 1, verses 22 to 25, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, if you look at quote number 10, please also realize that this entire section on serving God in all of these areas greatly depends upon our health. If we are not keeping all eight laws of health, but are disregarding some or perhaps all of these laws, then we will not be able to serve God to the best of our mental ability. And neither will we be able to serve God to the best of our energy and strength. And neither will we be able to have the best of our usefulness in manifesting kind deeds to others. So then, by not being careful in what we eat or in all that we do, then we are also guilty of robbing God as well as others of all that we could have accomplished for them, but couldn't because we lack the mental or physical health to accomplish it. And may God forgive each and every one of us, and then grant us the extra determination and strength to deny self and to follow all eight laws of health. And dear ones, if you will indeed do your best to maintain your health with the goal of being able to better serve God as well as others, then God will indeed bless all your efforts and will strengthen you to be able to do more for him in righteousness, which will bring more glory to his name and spread the truth farther and wider. And he will also work to keep you in as healthy a condition as possible. We're told in Exodus 15:26, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. in Isaiah 55, verse 2. Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread, or in other words, good food, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Or in other words, in rich abundance, in much blessings. In Proverbs 3, verses 7 to 8. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. In Exodus 23, verses 25 to 6. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land, and the number of thy days I will fulfill. Isaiah 58, verses 6 to 11. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free? And that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? In other words, the fast that God has chosen for his people to do is ministering to others in good works. Continuing, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water, who waters fail not. And then in Psalms 43, verse 2 and 5. For thou art the God of my strength, who is the health of my countenance. So, dear ones, these are all the areas wherein we can steal from God. But finally, how can we deceive God and break this eighth commandment? You look at quote number 11. It is really not possible for anyone to deceive God. He is omnipresent, and thus he is everywhere at the same time. God is also omniscient, or all-knowing, and thus nothing can be hid from him. In Jeremiah 23, verse 24, Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? And in Genesis 16, 13, Thou, God, seest me. So it is impossible to deceive God in any way. And those who believe that they can hide their thoughts or words or actions away from God's notice are in grave danger of being lost. So while you may be able to deceive your fellow mankind, you cannot in any way deceive God. In Isaiah 29, verse 15, Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? So, dear ones, after investigating into all of these five main areas and how we can break this eighth commandment of God and commit sin, if you look at quote number 12, let us all take heed. Let us all receive the warning and stop being commandment breakers. Let us all stop deceiving and robbing and stealing in any way or in any area from the world or from one another or from the messengers or workers or ministers and ministries of God or from ourselves and especially from God. Let us instead do all that we possibly can to live by every word of God and keep this eighth commandment perfectly through the grace and strength that God promises and will give us. And in that way, we will be found hid in Christ. We will be covered by His precious robe of righteousness. And thus we may just be able to make up one of the 144,000 who follow the Lamb perfectly. In 1 Peter 2, verses 21 to 2, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. And in Revelation 14, 1 to 5, and I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with Him 144,000, having His Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault, in other words, sinless, before the throne of God. Now, the Greek word for guile used here is dolos, and it translates and means a trick, deceit, guile, or subtlety. And that was Strong's word number 1388. So the 144,000 have nothing to do with guile or with subtly tricking people through deception and thus stealing away the truth from them and breaking this eighth commandment. But they are without fault before God. They have learned how to avoid all theft and deception in any form or area by following the perfect example of Jesus Christ. And thus they will continue to follow Him whithersoever He goeth throughout eternity. They learned how to follow Him perfectly on this earth, and they will continue to follow Him throughout eternity. So, dear ones, I sincerely pray that each and every one of you and each and every listening soul will determine with all your strength to strive to become one of these 144,000. And you can begin now by no longer stealing or deceiving or breaking this eighth commandment in any area. And this is my prayer, dear ones. May God help us to overcome just as Christ was able to overcome. And may God indeed forgive us for breaking in any way this commandment of thou shalt not steal. Our closing song for today's service is entitled, I Will Follow Thee, My Savior. And the lyrics can be found on our website at lightministries.com/ID1937.htm. I will follow thee, my Savior, wheresoe'er my lot may be. Where thou goest, I will follow. Yes, my Lord, I'll follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me, and though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee. Though the road be rough and thorny, trackless as the foaming sea, thou hast trod this way before me, and I'll gladly follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me, and though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee. Though I meet with tribulations, sorely tempted though I be, I remember thou wast tempted, and rejoice to follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee. Though through great and fierce affliction, poor forsaken though I be, thou wast destitute, afflicted, and I only follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee. Though to Jordan's rolling billows, cold and deep thou leadest me, thou hast crossed the waves before me, and I still will follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee. Dear ones, how do we become one of the 144,000? How do we make up this bride of Christ? And as soon as she makes herself ready, he throws the censer down and says, "It is done. I'm coming to get my bride." How do we do it? By following the example of our Savior on this earth perfectly. By not breaking any of God's commandments in the least area. So no matter what tribulation, no matter what persecution, no matter what scorn, what affliction that we have to go through, no matter how destitute or forsaken we become, yet we will still follow the example of our Lord. Because none of these things can ever separate us from the love of Christ. We are His forevermore. So where He leads, let us follow. I ask that you please bow your heads and your knees for closing prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, these things that have been shared, the spiritual insights that you've opened our understanding to, are quite solemn. And this is just one commandment out of the 10. Father, please forgive us in any area of stealing from Thee or robbing Thee or trying to deceive Thee. Forgive us in any area for doing so to one another or to the world or to the ministers or workers for God or to even ourselves. Father, we humbly repent. And we plead with Thee to create in us a new heart and a right spirit. Please remove from us all self-sufficiency and pride. Remove from us all self, that we might indeed be completely clean and swept empty, and then fill us with Thy Spirit. And please, Spirit, plant Jesus on the throne of our hearts, that we might indeed not only claim to be a follower of His, but are actually a follower. Wherever the Savior leads, we are happy and overjoyed to follow, because He goes before us, leading us directly to salvation and eternal life, and a home with Him. Father, we thank You so very much for Thy merciful kindness, for the gift of Your love in making possible our salvation in Jesus Christ. And we accept this gift of Your love, and we pray that You will fill our hearts with Your love, that we might be as a spring of water that continues to overflow with Your love being manifested to others in good works and in not deceiving them or stealing from them in any way. We thank You so much for helping us in this regard and for winking at the time of our ignorance and for helping us to redeem the time. For the days are indeed evil. And Father, we have some special prayer requests to bring before Thee, and thank You so much for hearing and answering these. We pray for those that are in Sierra Leone and Liberia and elsewhere in Africa, that You will please protect them, especially Thy people, from the outbreak of the Ebola virus. We also pray for Sister Taylor and family who are going through some very tough times right now, that you will help them to rest in thy love and that you will help them to be able to overcome the situation that they find themselves in. We also pray for Arnold, that you will continue to help him to get better and turn his heart ever closer and more firmly to thee. We pray for Tanya, that she will remain open to the truth and to understand what she reads and studies, and also to be curious to learn more. Father, we also have an unspoken prayer request and many other unspoken requests. We also pray for Sister Karina's safe traveling. Let her arrive safely at her destination and then bring her safely back home. And please open the way for her to witness thee to all whom she might be able to meet and speak a word to or do a kind act for. And we also pray for Sister Lucy's children and her grandchildren, that they will be open to reestablishing communication and relationship with her, and that she will especially be able to plant a seed of truth in their hearts, and then please, Spirit, water it, guard it, and allow it to grow, to bring about new growth, new birth, a new creature in Christ Jesus within them. We thank you so much, Father, again, for allowing us to meet together, that we don't have to be all alone in worshiping thee, but that we now have the ability and the honor, privilege of coming together with others of like faith to meet here in the name of our Savior and to have your and his in the presence of the Holy Spirit here with us to bless us richly and abundantly, especially in our spiritual lives. Father, help us to come alive for thee, that we may give a right and proper example of what a true Christian is, because they're drawing the energy and life from the source of all life. So we thank you for hearing and answering all of these prayers. Thank you so much for being our God and allowing us to be your sons and daughters in whom you are well pleased through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Dear ones, are there any thoughts or questions or comments or anything else that you would like to share? Please feel free to do so in this after church service time.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest clouds will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.
Amen, and thank you, brother. Because that's the only way that we can become like the Savior in character, is by looking up to him, by beholding him. You know, as I was looking through all the various aspects of this eighth commandment, I was amazed at how far-reaching this commandment is. And then I got to thinking, what about all the other commandments? If this eighth commandment that is so simply stated, thou shalt not steal, if this eighth commandment is so far extending into every aspect of our lives, our inner relationships with God and with others, what far-reaching aspects do the other commandments hold? And it became more and more plain to my mind, and it still is becoming more plain, that if ye break one of the commandments, you have truly broken them all. Because they're so interconnected and far-reaching into every aspect of our lives. It's just amazing how such a simple statement, thou shalt not steal, can encompass all the other commandments. Amen. I mean, a lot of us are familiar with how far-reaching the fourth commandment is about God's Sabbath, and that in not keeping the Sabbath, you're actually breaking all the other nine commandments. But just in looking at each one of the commandments, it is so marvelous and awe-inspiring to see how it affects and deals with every aspect of our lives. So it's actually quite exciting to see what the other commandments are going to reveal to us. But in due time, we will get to all the commandments. So, dear ones, are there any thoughts or any comments or perhaps any songs or testimonies that you'd like to give during this after-church service? Please feel free to do so. And also to those that are having to leave at this time, may God bless you. And please don't forget that next Sabbath is communion.
It is really so beautiful to learn the deeper meaning of God's Word. And truly, from both our adult and youth Sabbath school to now the sermon presented today that the Holy Spirit has impressed upon our dear Elder Rob's heart, I mean, it has really been an eye-opener to learn these deeper meanings, and looking forward to even the deeper meanings of the rest of the Ten Commandments. And praise the Lord for His opening our understanding to them.
Amen, dear sister. And you know, I'll mention it again. I am in awe on the wisdom of God. And we know that the Ten Commandments are a transcript of His character. And in just looking at this Eighth Commandment and seeing all of these areas that it involves, that means that God's character is so all-encompassing. It is so pure and good in all aspects, not just the biggest aspects, but down to the smallest aspects. He is indeed pure righteousness. And this righteousness is based upon the motive of pure love. It is just amazing to me. And we didn't cover every area that this Eighth Commandment deals with. We only covered the main ones, but there's so much more to be discovered in just that commandment. And that is what, at least to me, makes the Bible so interesting, that I want to continue to dig in it and to learn more and to discover more of the hidden gems that are there. Some gems you can find right off the bat because they're not buried that deep, but other gems are much more deeper. It takes much more effort to uncover them and to understand them. And there's so much more to learn. So it's a joy to take the time to study. You know, and to human nature, it's not that fun to discover things that you're doing wrong and need to change. But even that is God manifesting His love for you in leading and guiding you to come up ever higher. And that is a privilege to come that much closer to representing the character of God in us. So praise God. Praise God indeed.
One, two, three. Redeemer.
Precious Redeemer and friend, Lord of God and the Lamb, rescue the soul of man. Oh, you rescue the souls of man. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You are the hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace of hearts always hungry for. Oh, hearts always hunger for. Almighty Infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we've fallen before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. Hearts always hunger. Oh, hearts always
hunger. Amen. And thank you, dear sisters. That was beautiful. Dear ones, thank you so much for coming and fellowshipping and for being part of our service today. I pray that the Lord will continue to lead and guide you, and that you will continue to say, yes, Lord, I will come up ever higher. And I pray that God's richest blessings, especially the greatest blessing of all, the Holy Spirit being given you as your comforter and guide, will be ever more present with you throughout this week until we're able to meet again. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7:7. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah. So may God bless, dear ones. And our love and prayers are with each one of you, and thank you so much for the same for me and mine.